The salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Racing this morning. Put a piece of candy in my mouth there. A little bit of a breath mint, even though you guys can't smell me over there. A little bit of coffee breath here this morning. Got my mind racing this morning as I was coming down the steps. That always happens. Maybe I ought to build an elevator so I don't have time to ponder as I come down. Are there still two sides to every argument, folks? Is there really still two sides to every argument? And I think there is. And I was watching everything that's gone on up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and everything. Is anybody but me noticing the fact that there are certain arguments that are permitted to be made and certain arguments that are not? Is anybody noticing that but me? Have you noticed how quickly you will be called a racist if you speak out at all, speak any truth at all in regards to Black crime? You're a racist, right? Have you noticed how if you speak out at all against abortion, you are anti-woman and anti-choice? Let me ask you this. Is it okay to be anti-woman and anti-choice? If there's balance, if everybody wants balance, if everybody believed the same thing, the teeter-totter wouldn't work, would it? So the reason that you have to be able to formulate an argument is because, what is it they say? There's two sides to every coin. And why is it some of us are not allowed to have that side? Why is that? Why is our side, if you have something that you believe, whether somebody else agrees with it or not, do you have the right to believe it? And why is it that those of us who point out that the left is believing things that aren't true, we're the ones that are not allowed to say it? What happened to the voice of the Christian? What happened to it? What happened to the voice of the Christian? Why did the voice of the Christian go so silent? Jesus said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Blessed are you. And ask yourself, in modern American Christianity today, does the church permit you the right, the dignity to express an unpopular opinion? I'm going to tell you something. Some of the greatest censors are Christians. Oh, you shouldn't say that. Oh, that's not appropriate. That's not based on what? Based on what do you get to tell me what I should be able to say? And we've fallen totally and completely into that trap. That's the battle I see raising before us. And if there's anything that I've seen, and this is not a blow Donald Trump's horn show, I'm not going to do about that. We're going to have us a good show today here. I thank God for Donald Trump because he's made it okay to say what you think again. He's made it okay. And I think that we better wake up and realize that if Christians don't begin to stand up and speak the truth, if Christians continue to remain mute, we are in some serious, we're in serious trouble anyway, but our only hope is for Christians to once again find their voice. The righteous are as bold as lions, the Bible says, the righteous are. Did you guys see the video of Rand Paul being attacked, surrounded by police, being attacked as he left the White House last night? Why is it that the wicked are the ones that are bold? The wicked are. And you see the 17-year-old kid that shot three guys? I'm not going to say it. because I know right wing's watching and they will play it out of context. But I had a friend of mine say to me, not very Christian, you ready? Had a friend say to me, in fact, sent me an email to coach, I don't know what you think, but I think those guys got what they deserved. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. If you were to say that in Christian circles. Hey, my dad taught me you play with fire, you get burned. You show up, you're going to loot and riot, burn, and better be careful. Better be careful. And you know why the unrighteous are so wicked and so bold? Because there's no opposition to it. There's absolutely no opposition. So the Christian, because we don't want to be judgmental, we have totally and completely lost our voice. And I say it's time to reclaim it. Say it's time to reclaim it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, yeah, Vic. Everybody.
That's a quote by Matthew that's been misquoted.
Well, of course. Hey, Vinny, people don't read their Bibles. And people don't take Christianity. Christians do not take Christianity and apply their Christian in the real world. They don't understand that the public square is the battleground of ideas, the public square. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Now, last I checked, hang on, somebody help me out here. Is the public square in all the world? I think it is, isn't it? Isn't the public square in all the world? And we were talking yesterday about the Seven Mountain Movement and government and media and Hollywood. Pardon me a second. Aren't those in the world? And didn't Jesus say, is that Matthew 28, Mike? Is that Matthew? Somebody help me out, because Lord knows I would never want to mislead anybody here. I would never want to see. You cannot, folks, pull out selective verses out of the Bible and form a theology off of it. If you went into the Bible, I could show you right now. I'm going to ride this horse a second. If I were to Google, Mike, I got Mike jumping around here this morning, not on purpose, Mike. Matthew 28, did I say that? There it is, says, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, hang on a minute. Does this say that Christians aren't supposed to get in politics? Does anybody see Christians don't get in politics in that verse? I'm sorry, I don't see it.
But Coach, there's a footnote there, Coach. You didn't see the footnote? There's a footnote somewhere. It's just hidden there someplace. It's a footnote.
Yeah. There's no footnote there, Vinny. Hey, Mike, do this for me real quick. Just Google love in the Bible, mentions of love in the Bible. And see, I'm going to show you something, folks. If you want to build a theology of anything, I don't care what it is, you can find it. Okay, Mike, there you go. Hey, Mike, go down there. 40 Bible verses about love. And I can pull every one of these Bible verses out of context and apply them, folks. You got to be very, very careful. Context is everything. You got to be very, very careful in how we use the Bible. Because there's 40 verses about love. 40 of them. Well, the gospel must be all about love. Right? Well, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Are you supposed to see any verses about hate? I bet there's some verses about hate. Do you get my point? Folks, we have a very unbalanced gospel. Very unbalanced gospel. I got that off my
head. Hey, Coach, can I help you out here?
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Yeah.
The transactions in the Old Testament happened at the gate of the city in public view. So you could say that's the public square.
Right, right. By the way, Jesus even went there, didn't he? Didn't Jesus go in the public square? Didn't those guys get thrown in jail for showing up in the public square? Wasn't that where they did? I don't think much of the gospel work was done in secret.
Absolutely not, Coach. That's
hey, funny. Michelle Estes, Chad Estes' wife, has written a book. Pull that up here for us, Mike, before I get going in there. I got John Diamond coming up. We're here in a second. I got some stuff we really, really need to talk about. Chad Estes somehow has a wife who has some intelligence. Now, I don't know how that could have happened. I don't know. But miracles do happen. And Michelle has just published her first children's book, What Are We? paperback illustrated. She published it on June 9th, 2020, and you can get it on Amazon. The hardcovers, $24.95, paperbacks, $14.95. You know what? Probably a nice thing if as many of you as you could purchase one of those books. Just to support her and pop her numbers up and get it maybe up on a different page on Amazon. I don't know how it works. What are we? It tells us, what are we? Mike, can you make that a little bit bigger so I can read it? It says, Gracie Stanfer. There we go. I'm trying to figure out which camera to look at here. Gracie Stanfer seems to be a normal six-year-old little girl that is full of questions about life. She loves to spend the day playing dress up with her friends, having lunch with her grandmother, and then curling up in her daddy's lap as he reads the evening paper. Hey, Chad, that's pretty sexist, crawling up on her daddy's lap. Some of them don't have daddies. Some of them have two mommies, but that's okay. But one day her questions change from why to what. I don't know what you guys think. It's pretty hard to get a book published. So God bless Michelle. Congratulations to Michelle. What are we? It's up on the screen right there. Mike, maybe you can put that link into the chat so people can go there. Busy weekend this weekend. We're going to have the Ohio rally up at Lisbon with Bob and Tammy. We're having the rally down in Kentucky. I hate it when this happens because I can't be both places. Kentucky Salt and Light Brigade are having an assembly. All the information is there. We're having one up at Bob and Tammy's. All the information is there. Next weekend's the summit of Jamie Walden. The following weekend is the summer as the tactical training at Rob Pugh's in Wisconsin. Boy, they need some help in Wisconsin, Rob. I can tell you that. The heck's going on up through that corridor, up through Chicago, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Minneapolis. Woo! Hey, Mike, Heath, now I'm going to really put some pressure on you, Mike. Pull up a picture of the United States, if you can, real quick. Something going on. Something really, really, really going on. I'd say, I don't know if you put two and two together or four and four together. I don't know if you do that. Yeah, click on that first one. Be good, Mike. That'd be a good one. Yeah, pull that thing up there for me real quick. Okay, boys. Mike, can you point at Wisconsin with your pointer? No. Uh-oh, Mike, you're showing your stupidity. Come back over here where the white red dot is, Mike. Red dot. Right there. Folks, you know what that is? That'd be Illinois. That'd be Chicago. All right? Mike, keep your pointer there. Now, Mike, go right up. Just go straight up. Well, come back a little bit, Mike. Come back a little bit. Right over. Go over to the water, Mike. Go over to the water. Uh-oh, Kenosha. Kenosha. Mike, go up a little bit farther. Uh-oh, Milwaukee. Huh. Hey, Mike, make a hard left turn. Boom, go to Minnesota, Mike. Go on over there to Minnesota. Hey, folks, you understand what's going on? Do you understand how this group of protesters is embedded in a particular area of the country? And then you can go over to the left coast, Mike, and you can go to Portland. You can go to Seattle. See, folks, this isn't everywhere in America. They're just trying to give us the appearance that it's everywhere in America, and it's not. It's not. So you got to give them credit for being pretty strategic in how they do things. And, Mike, we now know you flunk geography. But other than that, we did pretty good. All right? Well, Coach, what else you want to talk about? I'll get to that in a second. I got John Diamond on with us. I'm working behind the scenes. We are working behind the scenes. I want to explain it without getting too deep into it here on Flea Flicker Friday. Working on a prayer movement. Before I get too deep into that, Larry's working on a project as well. Larry, come on and explain. Take a couple minutes to explain the project you're working on and how people can help.
Yeah, we are seriously going down the trail after this stop the coronavirus vaccination being forced on us. And we need every American that cares about it to step up to the plate and help out in this effort.
Time out, man, Larry. So you want to stop vaccinations before they make them law rather than trying to undo the law after they make it?
Absolutely. It's a whole lot easier to keep a bull in a pen than it is to build a pen around a bull running loose. So let's,
all right.
I know that you have to go to the Friends of Liberty United website, because that's where we posted the form to sign up to help them stop the vaccination. But I promise you folks, when you sign up to help stop the vaccinations, we're not going to badger you to join Friends of Liberty United at this point. We're not going to do that. We're going to concentrate on the vaccination thing. And then I'll be honest with you again, after we've proven that people working together in unison and in unity can actually do stuff, then we will say, hey, let's do some more stuff. Join us in FOLU. But we're not going to badger you to join FOLU while we're working on the vaccination thing. So you have no excuse not to come in and help out, and let's get this done. We have a plan. We have a strategy. We've developed some tools to use, and we're going to put it into action. And either we're going to win this thing and we're going to stop this forced vaccination, or we're going to roll over and say, okay, get a bottle of Vaseline. Here I am.
Mike, can you throw that website up there? Friends of Liberty United, FOLU. Is it .org, Larry? What is it?
.com.
.com. And all Larry wants you to do right now is just go out and sign. It doesn't want you to become a member of FOLU. The Friends of Liberty United website is, give it to me, Larry.
Friendsoflibertyunited.com.
There you go. Friendsoflibertyunited.com.
Hey, Coach.
No? Yes.
Just want to let Larry know. I heard him ask the other day for me to do that, all the people coming in and out. And he jumped off the show before I could say it, but I will start doing that today. I wrote it down. I'll start sharing it with everybody that's coming in and out.
Okay, folks.
Yeah, I'll be looking to see your sign up to help us out too.
So put it in the chat, Mike, if you can. The Friends of Liberty United help. I got to tell you something, man. The devil is wicked. The devil is loose. The devil is aggressive. The righteous are supposed to be bold as lions. The enemy is bold as lions. And I got all kinds of people upset with me, but I stand by it. The Republican Party is far more Christian than the Christian church. I'm telling you. Now, wait a minute. Hey, not the Bush wing. Not the Bush, Mitch McConnell wing of the Republican Party. This new movement that's rising up around Donald Trump. I know some of you still hate him, and some of you still hate the fact that he had sex outside of marriage. I'm sorry. I get it. But I'm telling you, there's something rising. There's something going on in this country. Something going on. And those of us who carry the name of Christ, we ought to be leading the fight, not following it.
Amen.
And we haven't been doing a real good job at it. That's why I love John Diamond. We'll get John on here. Because as I started to say, I'm trying to put together a prayer initiative. And here's part of the problem that I have, okay? I'll just be honest. Well, I am always honest. Like, we need another prayer moon, right? Huh? We need another one. Anybody know? Huh? Just this morning, I got about 5 prayer initiatives from different groups. Praise the Lord, they're doing that. So that's what I need. Yeah, well, Coach, get a prayer initiative going. Are you kidding me? But I got to tell you something. I'm pondering it hard, because here's what I see. We need folks on any given Sunday. I don't know what the numbers would be, but 25, 30% of the community in which you live, the people are in church. I don't know what percentage it would be. I'm saying 25, maybe 30. Could be higher, could be lower, but there is a steady percentage of people in your community who are in church. Now, do you know who they are? If you were to walk outside your house and they were going to give you whatever, and you were going to go and knock on the doors of all the Christians in your neighborhood, would you have any idea who they are? Do you have any idea who they are? And they may be going to church every Sunday, and they're going to their Baptist church and their Methodist church and their Lutheran church and their non-denominational church and their Pentecostal church and their Charismatic church and the Free Will Liberty. You with me, right? Some of them don't even go to church in your community. They drive to Columbus. They drive to Cincinnati. They go to different places to go to church. There are Christians in your community who we don't even know. And most of the prayer initiatives that we do inside our churches. Something you would agree with that, wouldn't you? People, go to your church, and this Sunday we're going to have everybody in our church. Whether you realize it or not, we're still a divided force. We're not united. We're not united. So the prayer initiative that I'm thinking about launching here in 7 weeks before the election is a public called out group of Christians from outside their churches to come and join with other Christians in a prayer gathering across racial, denominational, theological lines. Come and pray with us. And most of the prayer initiatives that I see going on are being done with inside the church, and I'm all for that. But I think if we begin to have some of these public prayer initiatives in our local communities, we will find like-minded believers that we'll be able to lock arms with. Anybody have a comment on that other than John? Hang on, John. I'll bring you here in a second. Anybody think I'm missing the mark there? I use Sky High as a guide. Can anybody imagine 50 cars at Sky High from people who I didn't even know were Christians? And they heard that we were going to have a prayer initiative, and so they showed up. Whenever we scheduled it, they showed up, and they pulled up in their car, and I didn't even know them. They didn't even know me, but they're there. They're to honor the Lord. Guess who I'm going with?
Just there to feel the Spirit, brother.
Just there. Not there with Trump signs, not there with Trump banners, not with MAGA hats, none of that kind of stuff. No, no. Humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. 7 week initiative. If somebody want to email me that are listening right now, say, yeah, Coach, that's a great idea, or Coach, you're full of crap. One or the other, because I'm about to pull the trigger on
Coach.
I think it's important we find other like-minded Christians who are hiding inside their churches. So come in. Somebody tried to come in. Come on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I will second that. You know me. I'll be the bad guy here. I'll be the bad guy. Everybody can say Randy said it. Hey, Coach, if you can't see what God is getting ready to do in our nation, probably around the world, it is outside the old wineskin that's broken,
that
will not hold the wine. It is outside the institution of the old church, quote, church look-like structure. It is out of the box. And if you can't see, I don't know exactly what it looks like, Coach. It may be what we're getting ready to do with this group in prayer. But I'm telling you, it is outside the institution. So if you're not willing to go outside of that box, you will not be part of this. Is probably, Coach, I promise you.
Randy, here's what's really, really important from my standpoint. Thanks, Gary. I just got your message. Listen, folks, listen to me. Right now I'm looking right here in the queue. Right now in the queue, according to this is people who go to Coach Dave Live and log on and want to run their chops and talk. I'm just kidding. Want to be part of the show. There's 48 people right here. Why can't every one of you 48 people organize a prayer event in your community? Not go through some national group. We'll just pick a time. I'm working on all this, right? But can you imagine John Diamond, wherever he lives, organizing a group of 50 people from all denominations, ever just come down to Walmart and pray with us down at Walmart, and Larry doing it in Myrtle Beach, and Mike doing it in Mayberry RFD, and Jeff Klein doing it in Mount Vernon, and let me scroll on down there. Who else will be there? You get the picture, right? Brian Cunningham doing it, and Chris doing it, and Clay Parker doing it. All these little prayer gatherings and folks, we will build a coalition of believers for you right where you live. You say, but Coach, I'm not a leader. I can't do that. Well, we're going to help you with it. We're going to give you some steps and some guidelines on how to do. You know what you need to do? You need to come out of your comfort zone and say, Coach, I've never done anything like this, but I'm going to do it. We're not asking you to go hold a sign. We're not asking you to go fight against homosexuality. We're not asking you to go to a school board meeting. We're asking you to stand up and put the call out over your Facebook page, over YouTube page, wherever. Say, hey, listen, please gather with me at this point. We're going to pray that God would heal our land. An appeal to heaven, John Diamond, an appeal to heaven, that we're going to get through all this religious stuff and all this dogma and all this. No, no, no. Just as fellow believers, we're going to come together in the spirit of unity, say, Lord, heal our land. That's the way I see it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We Facebooked it last Friday. Had 20 people show up on the public square last Saturday. These 20 people are getting a hold of everybody. We Facebooked it again. I've already had people telling me, I think we're going to have 100 tomorrow. It's started already, and they're excited about this. You know what I mean? It's been good. So, but I'm going to listen to John today and incorporate whatever he's got. We're going to incorporate that tomorrow, 12:30 on the public square in Mount Vernon.
Well, we're still putting it. We're still putting it together, the plan here, folks. But we want 7 days, Like we made. I think I'm going to pick Saturday, 7 consecutive Saturdays where we're going to gather Christians to, for just 45 minutes or an hour and just pray for our country. No guys giving powerful speeches, no MAGA hats, no Trump flags. Just humble ourselves and pray. And that's why I asked John Diamond. I had a conversation. Silver, did you want to say something, brother? Go ahead. I see it. Go ahead.
Quick. The objective of the prayers should be well defined.
Yes.
For our nation and for the salvation of our nation.
Yes.
And
that's one of the things we want to do, Joe. Give, like for instance, 5 or 6 specific targets that we're all going to pray on, right? Okay. Everybody, pray for families. Pray for life. Pray for whatever. Five initiatives. Each week we would change that initiative a little bit, and everybody would know exactly what it is we're going to pray about. But then John Diamond could begin to have an impact right where he lives. He doesn't have to get in his car and drive to Ohio to be on top of my hill with me. You understand? You understand it, hey, folks?
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
I recommend that in the announcement of going to have this prayer for our nation and all, that you emphasize that each person coming needs to do their personal repentance, because that Second Chronicles, whatever it is, starts off with repenting. And if people come there unrepentant, their involvement in their prayer thing ain't going to mean jack.
Well, they could repent there. I'm with you. They could repent there. So I got a hold of John Diamond because I wanted to call an appeal to heaven, and John's been all over the idea of an appeal to heaven. In fact, he's written a book about it, and we had a great conversation. He says, "Coach, you won't believe it, man. I'm all over this thing." So he said, "John, I'm going to bring you in here." John said, "One of the problems we have is, I'm not stealing your thunder, John. We don't even understand who the ecclesia are. We don't even understand who we are." So, John, open up the door, brother. Come on in here and help us out a little bit. John Diamond, Dr. John Diamond, with his book, An Appeal to Heaven's up on the screen right now. John's been a buddy of mine for, golly, I don't know, 20 years or so. Come on in, John. You got to unmute yourself, Johnny.
Hey, Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good, John. Thanks for being here.
All right, perfect. Hey, I believe that all this is kind of spirit led. Is you have to understand one thing when we talk about prayer, and I'm glad you called me up about the, because we need something to symbolize our movement, and the Appeal to Heaven flag is what we've created, you know, or reached back into history and God, because can't be just a prayer movement. What you have in this country right now is you have a bunch of prayer movements and people just sitting in churches doing
John,
nothing.
John, we have to come
and
out.
And then you have activist movements.
We have to be seen. Folks, I'm sorry, John. We need to be publicly seen. Do you understand this, folks? We need to come out from hiding and publicly come together so all the world can see. Go ahead, John.
Amen, Coach. Amen to that.
That's exactly right. Now, I mean, when we talk about prayer, what should we be praying for? Well, if you go into the upper room in Acts chapter 4, it says they want us. And that's what the church needs, because like you said, you know, we're evangelifish. We have no backbone. So fear is part of the real, unless we pray for boldness like the apostles did up in the upper room in Acts chapter 4, we're not going to have that boldness. It's divine. And it's something that has to be imparted. Did was they came out of the upper room and they traveled the world. So when you go from Acts chapter 4 to Acts chapter 17, by the time they got to Thessalonica, Greece, I mean, follow the map from Jerusalem all the way to Greece. And it says in 17 years, they traveled that far. And it says the world upside down have come here also. So their reputation had preceded them. By the time they got to Thessalonica in Greece, 17 years later, they came out of the churches and they prayed for boldness and they traveled, you know, throughout the Roman Empire. And just in 17 years, turned upside down, really meant turning it right side up, because the divine order of the universe is God, government, citizens. This is what my book really talks about more than in Romans 13. And the church needs to reestablish that, because we are flat out ignorant of the difference between the gospel of the kingdom, salvation. We preach, pull that slide up if you would, Mike. It said, should say two gospels. We have been so focused on preaching of salvation and not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You can go your entire life preaching the gospel.
Have you been listening
to the salvation show? And the kingdom.
I'm sorry, man. I forget there's a delay.
Yeah, on and off I have when I can.
I'll shut up. Go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, if you preach the gospel of salvation, you've never preached the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom, then by default, you will be preaching the gospel of salvation. And Christ said in Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the be preached and all over the world, and then the end will come. Not the gospel of salvation. All right. So you have to understand the gospel of the kingdom is a message. This is what the Jesus taught. This is what the apostles taught. This is what the early church did the entire book of Acts. They went out and they preached of the kingdom. Can you pull up Romans 13:1-4, Mike? And I want to just explain this, because number 8 is the 8th video in a series. So I've built a, you know, this teaching kind of step by step by step by step. But if you go to 13, let's really look at what it says just in these first four verses. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Okay, who? President, everybody else. I see it there. It says, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that by God. Now the New King James says are appointed by God. So you have to understand that government. Think of President Trump. When he becomes president, he appoints a bunch of people. He appoints the Secretary of Defense. He does of the Secretary of Education. All of these run his government. All right, government is appointed or ordained by God. All right, and they are supposed to be advancing his kingdom, running off doing their own thing or separating themselves from God. They are working under his authority. And when you go down and you read the rest of verses, I think 4, but it says several times, they are ministers. They are God's ministers. So if you go to 28 dictionary and you look up the word minister, it's actually a government official.
So hang on.
It has nothing to do.
So, John, hang on a minute.
With, you know, some guy working at.
So, in Romans 13, it would be safe to say that Jesus Christ, God, did not assign authority to the devil. In other words, Jesus didn't say to Christians, hey, everybody get out of government. We're going to let the devil run the government. He didn't have that message. That's not what Romans 13 teaches, is it, John?
No. No, the church is supposed to be godly to government. It doesn't say separate yourself from government. It doesn't say remove yourself from government. It says we are to be the ones at the city council meeting telling these people, look, you have been appointed by God to advance his kingdom teaches. And that they have the sword. In order to, I mean, if you read down there, it says that they have the sword to enforce that, disobey God's commandments. So, I mean, we have so secularized even the church, I mean, and separated John, it. Do you have that website I sent over, Mike?
John?
John, hang on a second. Roger's trying to get in here while Mike's pulling.
Can I stop you for a minute? Because you have hit on something very important. Don't move so quickly past it. We have been taught not to mix Christianity or religion with politics. That has been a prominent discussion from the pulpit for years. what you and Dave are clearly articulating right now, and needs to be articulated again right now, that as I flip through my Bible this morning, that is not the dominant position at all. There might be a little reference to a little bit of, you know, come on, lighten up a little bit in the Bible. But overall, in a majority, supermajority, it has always been through Scripture, get involved, control the culture with our faith. So this is important. This is truly what is in God's Word.
And Roger, John, if I can, I hate to keep pulling you off target. John, I'm not trying to pull you off target because I know where you are. Stay with me a second, though. Folks, I want you to see the danger of something I saw last night. Yeah, as you know, I'm a Trump supporter. But Donald Trump, listen, folks, I'm sorry. I just got to tell it like it is. Donald Trump has become the pastor to America. Whether yeah. we want to believe it or not, and whether you're okay with that or not, Donald Trump is hitting all of the Christian hot buttons. Now, you can argue whether he's a Christian or not. He's hitting all of the Christian hot buttons, and there ain't no pastor giving him a second. There's nobody coming behind him and saying, you are right. And if we're not danger, if we're not careful, this is how dictators get formed. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, the video I sent over to you, slide number 8, which is on my, and you can either pull it up or just email it out to everybody else. But there's an entire 45-minute teaching on what the ecclesia is. I don't know if you have, Mike, if you have a couple of those slides.
I sent you a couple of things. It's called Mike says the first church is starting to wake up. John, there's a little bit of delay with you. That
should be an email. It says three different institutions. Okay.
I'm having a little bit of a delay with you, John. That's why it seems like I'm walking on top of you. I don't mean to be doing that.
No, that's fine. Look at that slide right there, because that's Romans 13 right there. You have the kingdom of God, and then you have the kingdom of men. Christ is king, lawgiver, and 13 says that the kingdom of men, government officials, are Christ's appointees. All right, so they're supposed to be working for Christ. They're supposed to be working for the and enforcing his commandments. That's what Romans 13 teaches. It doesn't say do what the government says and don't worry about what Christ says. It's just the opposite of that. Our job's place. Can you go to the next slide?
So the lie of
should
the
be three of them that say
the lie of the separation between the church and state has severed those, hasn't it, John? It's given us the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man, and it has separated the two.
Yeah. I said I don't know if you have it over there. Here's and you can go to the lie number 8 when we. Here's what the time of Christ, there were three institutions. There was the temple, the synagogue, and the ecclesia. The temple was a place of prayer and worship. The synagogue, ecclesia, and I'm just going to read the term. The ecclesia was a political, judicial, and government term. It's a political assembly of citizens of an ancient Greek state. It was citizens to discuss legal matters and handle the administrative affairs of government. It was a place of legal counsel. It referred to those who had final say so in what. So when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, there is nobody standing there that would have thought about the functions of the church. What we have done is we have merged the function of the church, the temple, and the synagogue, prayer, worship, and teaching, and we call them the ecclesia. We've totally left out what the true ecclesia is. The ecclesia is what the early church did. They went from town the town, they went to the city, told the rulers, you are Christ's appointee, you are under his authority, and anything that you are legalizing that he says not. So that's how they ended gladiatorial games, that's how they ended infanticide. They didn't just sit in the upper room and pray. They went from town to town to town to the gate, and they basically turned the world upside down by doing this. So you're never going to sit in your church. Yeah, it has to start with a prayer movement because it empowers. But if you don't leave the four walls of your church, you'll never turn the world upside down. So there's a 45-minute teaching there called lie number number 8 that Jared show that in your churches, share that, get that in your spirit. I mean, I've been trying to share it with a whole bunch of just high ranking kind of, you know, and they're all off doing their own thing. So we're going to have to see, there's the PowerPoint slide for it right there, but we do it all in, we do it all.
Okay.
So these are all going to be teachings.
Let me call time out. I don't know what, I'm doing a little bit of behind the scenes work here. Mike, Jared, I don't know why I have such a delay with John. This almost never happens. I don't even feel like I can converse with him because I feel like maybe it's on my end, but I have a delay for some reason. John, listen, here's what I want to do, John. I want you to, can you come back Monday? We're going to go ahead. We're going to continue here, but I want to go back Monday and I want you to use these PowerPoints and do this teaching to us. We need to get this stuff, John. If you could go point by point, or you, like you're talking about, what is it, John? 8 lies. Well, let's go through those lies. Let's take a show on Monday and let's go through those lies that we are being told by church leaders, by the way. And it's no wonder we're all messed up. I want to continue today, John, but can we do that on Monday? Can we come back and specifically let's go through these 8 lies that we're being told?
No, absolutely. There's actually 12, and we can just go through them one by one real quick on Monday. But they have your listeners have the ability to go to the rate on there that Jared did for us. And it's on my Divine Worldview YouTube channel. It's a 45-minute teaching. They can watch it. I put this one out really first, intended to be number 8 in the teachings. But because we're in such a politically charged season and we need to get Christians and churches out voting and active and doing that's the key. That's the key, is just to overcome this lie. And when you read this, you understand that this is part of the Great Commission. Go in the world and preach the gospel. What gospel?
Yep.
It's not the gospel of salvation alone. It's the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Time out a minute. Again, I'm sorry, technical issues. John is breaking up. Mike, is it on my end? Is my internet?
No, Coach. It's
here too.
Okay, cool. So, all right. I feel like I'm being rude, and I'm not trying to be rude. There's a tremendous delay, and it's breaking up with me. So I trying to make a good presentation. So, John, I'm not trying to be rude to you, brother, if that's the way it's coming across, because your information is so important for us to get. And, Mike, I don't know if there's any way that you can. Can you go back? Can you go back, Mike, to that circle with a triangle in the middle of it? And it showed, there's the two gospels. Go to the other one, Mike, which shows the 3 branches of government. Yeah, no, that's a good one too. Stop there, because folks, here's what's happened to us, right? There's the kingdom of God, right? King, lawgiver, judge, that's God, right? And then he creates government for men, Christ-appointed men, executive, legislative, judicial, and then the citizens below it. But what they've done is they've severed it. They've severed they said there was a separation between the church and state. So therefore, the kingdom of God is in one area, and then the kingdom of men is in another area, and we're being ruled by the kingdom of men rather than by the kingdom of Christ. That's the point I want to make. And then, Mike, there was one more slide, and it showed the 3 kingdoms, the kingdom of the executive, legislative, and judicial, which is God is our king, God is our lawgiver, and God is our judge. Right, John? I'm not trying to do your presentation for there. 3 functions of government. Talk about that right there for a minute, John.
Hey, Coach, can you hear me now? This is
so frustrating on my end. I can, yes.
Okay, I unplugged my other microphone. Oh, is it coming in better now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Isaiah 33:22 says that Christ is the king, the lawgiver, and the judge. All right. And that's when you preach that, you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, not just the gospel of salvation. And I did this at the conference that we had out here when we invited you and Bradley Dean and others out here. I had a pastor one time said, well, God hasn't called me to preach the gospel of the kingdom, just the gospel of salvation. And I said, you cannot even evangelize without preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, well, sure I can. I said, do it. And he said, well, first you have to understand you're a sinner. And I said, what's sin? Well, sin is a breaking of God's law. Oh, okay. So you say there's a lawgiver. And he kind of just hesitated. And I said, now, what if I say I don't care about God's law? Well, the Bible teaches that Christ is going to send his angels and is going to take you and you're going to be judged. I'm like, okay, so the king, the executive is going to send his angels, his law enforcement, to apprehend me and bring me into a courtroom. I said, you understand that you just preached the gospel of the kingdom. There is a lawgiver. We are going to be apprehended. We are going to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. And we are going to be given an account for whether or not we kept God's law. And I said, when you preach evangelism, the people that you are talking to in the secular world today do not understand sin. They don't understand these things. They understand that we have a legal system that if you break the law, you're going to be arrested and thrown in jail. They understand that. When you start to evangelize from that foundation, and now you compare that with God's law, and Christ is the king, and he's going to send his angels, and you're going to be judged, your evangelism is 10 times more effective than trying to teach a bunch of religious jargon to them.
Or teaching that Jesus loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life. Right, John? Friendship evangelism. If we don't understand the three functions of government, of God as king, lawgiver, if we don't get that, the gospel makes no sense. Anybody want to jump in here real quick? Go ahead, John.
Yes. Hey, Coach, you know, this is really good. This is very good teaching. But you know what? Until a person's ready to tear down some of those old barriers, they can't hear this message. I mean, I wish everyone could, but you have to tear it down. God said he has to bring you out to bring you in.
Randy, you mean to tear down that just preach the gospel, Coach? Just love them, Coach. You mean that message, Randy? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about, Coach. You know, in Isaiah, I just want to make this point. I think it really shows us how to get to these people. But Isaiah 9, when it talks about unto you a child is going to come, and it's Jesus, and he's going to have this name, Wonderful Counselor, and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then it goes to verse 7, and it says, of the increase of his government and peace. But everyone puts a break right there, Coach. They think that's heaven, and that's the future. They don't understand that it's a continuation. He did that when he came to the earth, and it started then, and it's going to go forever.
Mike, can you pull that up?
Coach, until your theology will allow you to connect that, you
that's
can't
Isaiah.
Even understand what John's teaching.
Isaiah 9, isn't that where it is, Randy? Is that Isaiah 9 or Isaiah 8? Isaiah 9?
It's Isaiah 9. John.
John. Yeah, Isaiah 9. Yeah.
I know he does. I know he does.
While
I'm
we're
sorry
waiting
for the delay and walking on top.
Yeah. While we're waiting on that to pull up, let me try to tie this together just a little bit. You know, it all revolves around the word says, no man comes to the Father except his spirit draw them. And there's nothing, there's no amount of evangelizing, preaching, book publishing, morning internet programs or anything like that. No manner of any of that is ever going to help one person get into heaven without the Holy Spirit leading and being involved. That's what I appreciate so much about this group here, because for the most part, most of the people here understand that and at least are attempting to learn how to live that.
9 verse 8. Go to verse 8, Mike. Down to 9 verse 8, because this is what Randy's talking.
9:6.
9:6. For unto us a child is born. This is what Randy was just quoting to us. And unto us a son is given. Look at this, folks.
Yeah. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And that's where they stop. Right. Because they're only preaching the gospel of salvation. This is not a gospel of salvation message. It's a gospel of the kingdom message. That's why it says, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And then there's four titles there. These are government titles. And then it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to establish with judges from that point forward. In other words, from the time that he's born as a baby in the manger, Christ is going to be king. And you study your Bible, the word Savior is used twice in the Gospels and once in the book of Acts. You look at all the times that Christ is called king. When he was born, where is he born king of the Jews? When he was before Pilate, are you the king of the Jews? When he approached the Jews, what do you want me to do with your king? Crucify him. When they hung him on the cross, here is Jesus, king of the Jews. All right. When they went from town to town and they got to Acts chapter 17, they said there is somebody that outranks Caesar and his name is Jesus. All right. They preached the kingdom of God. They did not just preach the gospel of salvation. Oh, unless we get back to preaching the kingdom of God, one, Christ isn't going to return. All right. He's not going to return until we preach the gospel of the kingdom. We know this message is going to get out because when you get to Acts Revelation, it says the kings of the earth and the mighty men say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. This message is going to get out, and it's going to get out to every political leader, every government leader, every corporate leader, and where they're going to be warned, judgment is coming unless you repent. And then when they ignore it and it happens, they're going to know very clearly where this is coming from, because it says they hide in the mountains and the rocks and they say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. So our job is just to declare the gospel of the kingdom message.
So, John, last night I'm watching. This is not true. I fell asleep last night. This morning I got up real quick and I replayed part of the president's speech last night just because this is what I do. Right. So I wanted to be on top of my game this morning. And President Trump had a line in his speech. Hey, he may not even have written it, okay? He may not even have believed it, okay? And he said, basically, here in America, we don't count on government. We trust in Almighty God. And you know what I heard in the spirit? You know what I heard in the spirit? I heard Christian leaders poo-pooing it. Oh, listen to him. He's not even a real Christian. He's a phony. He is declaring the kingdom of God, and churches and pastors can't even recognize it because they're too caught up in personal sin and personal salvation. Joe.
Coach, I basically heard the same thing. When you said that, I said, oh, yeah. Because the churches do not know who Christ is.
Boy.
I hate to say it that way, but it's true.
Coach, they're caught up in their personal kingdoms.
Yes, 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 yes. Personal kingdoms, personal opinions, right? Personal ministries, all that kind of stuff. The president of the United States, whether, folks, listen, whatever flows through the head flows through the body. And the president of the United States, who is the head of our government, whether he believed it or not, he declared this government is relying on Almighty God. Now, if you can't see the spiritual significance of that, I don't even know what to tell you. See, people are criticizing. Oh, he doesn't believe that. Oh, he slept around on Melania and he was. Blah, 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 blah. Are you with me? You got? Can't we see this? And I'm telling you, we can't.
Hey, Coach.
Dave, can't a man's words influence the kingdom, even if they're foundationally may not be as firm as we would like?
Well, Roger, it's exactly the point John Diamond was just making. He is the head of the government. He is speaking for the body. That was a prophetic unction that came out of maybe a sinful man. But because he occupies that position, when he spoke it with the authority of the position he held. We rely on Almighty God, whether he personally does or not.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I'll bet you, and you just said that, because I heard that last night, but I'll bet, and now I think about it, you know, there's probably more people hearing that that were probably non-Christians that don't know Jesus that probably said, yeah, he's right. Mm. And they don't even go to church. They're not a Christian. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you why, John? I don't mean to take up your time, right? Because most pastors are trapped in the gospel of salvation only. He's not saved enough for them.
He has no right to be king. He's not personally saved enough like they are. Somebody amen. Say amen. Somebody say amen.
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 Amen, Coach. You nailed
they
it.
Don't understand,
you nailed
they it. Understand the godly anointing in the position and the words that came out of his mouth as the leader of the nation to the country. We rely on Almighty God. It was a declaration from a man put in office. Why? A position that God, according to Romans 13, anointed him to have.
Come on.
Churches laugh at him. Pastors make fun of him. Never Trumpers. Christians who cannot even see the unction of the mouth of God coming through that orange man. Because they're too focused on the man and his own salvation. Oh, God help us. John, you'll come back on Monday, won't you? Because I've kind of done you wrong here this morning. I haven't meant to, but I kind of have. Walked all over you.
No, that's all right, Coach. I mean, I'm clear out of the country, so I'm I'll probably head over to the church in town and try to get it.
I'm just trying to. I got such a revelation from just this right here this morning, John. Personal revelation here. That it, Romans 13, folks, listen to me. They throw in our face all the time. Romans 13. We must obey the government, right? They throw that in our face all the time. Why? Well, because God's ordained the government, and so the orange man, ordained as the leader of the nation, stands and declares that our trust is in Almighty God. And Christians don't even understand the authority just spoken to them. They don't even understand it because they're worried about his own personal salvation. And he says mean things and he doesn't act Christ-like. Right? Right? Come on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We need that amen. Teaching, John. Given right there. We need to articulate that everywhere we go, Coach. Amen.
Oh my God, we have to, man. We have to. John, help me out here, John. According to what we've read right here, and you combine it with Romans 13, Donald Trump is where he is, not because of personal salvation, but because God marked him and ordained him into that position. And we're to honor the king. They tell us, those guys who'd make us follow Romans 13, they tell us he's been ordained. We got to follow him. And then they don't follow a man who's declaring, thus saith the Lord, because of his own personal lifestyle, they think. Folks, that's a home run. Wow. That's a mic drop. Mic drop.
Amen.
Whew. Man.
That's certainly a mic drop there, Coach. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you have to understand, Bible's very clear that God appoints people. God puts everybody into government, all right? It's the man. We don't choose our elected officials like we think we do. God puts people into government. If we're a righteous people, he'll put the right people there. If we're not, he'll put the wrong people there, all right? God appoints everybody. God put Nebuchadnezzar there. People don't even understand that. Daniel told him, you are a king of kings. You're not the king of kings, but God put you in your position. We don't even like to think that God put Nebuchadnezzar in that position, but Daniel told him, now he rebelled against that. He had to go eat grass in the field for 7 years till he figured it out again. And then he came back and said, oh my bad. I was appointed by God and his kingdom outranks my kingdom. This is what we need to be telling people in America today. And this is what we need to tell our political leaders. You are the kingdom of man. You work under the kingdom of God and you work under his authority. That's where we need to get right back to. That's what my book does. And that's what this video series is going to do.
Okay. John Diamond's going to be back with us on Monday. And I thank God, if nothing else, that Donald Trump has revealed for all the world to see the phony, rhino, fake Republicans who've been our Republican Christian leadership for the last 30 years. They are being so exposed. And what we're seeing is the heartbeat of the Republican Party is a Christian heartbeat. It's a Christian heartbeat. And we've put unrighteous men at the top of that Christian heartbeat. And they've been phonies and frauds. And you can say what you want to about Donald Trump, but he has done such an unbelievable job of exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. We can all see it now. It's the Republicans and the Democrats on one team and the Trump supporters on another. That's the two teams. That's the battle that we're seeing fighting. John will be back with us on Monday. And John, maybe we can get, well, we'll talk about it afterwards. Rhinos are everywhere. Righteous men are beginning to rise up. And God help us to recognize what's going on right in our midst. God bless you, John. Thanks for coming. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. See some of you in Lisbon. See some of you in Kentucky. Whether. Yes. Go. We're off.